Jogger, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. Well, it's fitting that we have you on after what Struds told us earlier. Because you're a big boy band guy. Struds was very disappointed. He felt that One Direction's just not that good looking enough. Do you agree?
Good looking enough?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, let's deal with that in a minute. But how did we feel about their performance? I think that should be the first talking point.
Well, I love their songs. Like, I didn't like the song. My kids like Story of My Life. Song is one of their. I think it's.
But they didn't do that on SNL.
Well, no, I didn't watch it. This is just like from my day in, day out. I'm on the front lines here, but I'm in the trenches. And anyway, so I thought I'd play the video. And then as the story goes, I said, man, these are really a group of ugly men singing. And traditionally, boy bands have some attractive men. Everyone in here is laughing.
Yeah.
I maybe haven't seen them or not, but I do feel that they're substandard attractiveness when it comes to boy bands.
Did you know they were on Saturday Night Live on the weekend?
No, I was at a Christmas party.
Yeah, so they were on Saturday Night Live on the weekend. And
yeah.
I kind of thought the same thing. They've sort of graduated out of that, young sort of teenage look, and now they're getting into their early 20s or whatever. And it's, whatever. They're kind of, and they're not all that talented. I was sort of thinking, man, they're actually not that good. So it's one of those, one of those manufactured bands that pumps out songs that other people write for them. But probably make a lot more money than any of us. So good on them. Good looking or not, hey?
Well, hey, I'd rather look at the Spice Girls and the Pussycat Dolls. You guys can debate on that, which is great. I love it. I think that's awesome for you guys. I don't even know the name of of the guys in the band. But the names of the orders we know. And Rashaga, Todd Nelson today said the plan was for Lander. It was an organizational plan. He was coming up for one game. Obviously, Leon Draisaitl was going to get massive time off between the last game and this one, and that Lander was going back down. Now, Lander, I thought, played quite well. What if Lander had scored? Like, it's to me to say the plan doesn't change regardless. I don't like that message that there's like, hey, it doesn't matter how well a guy plays, we have a set plan and we're not breaking it.
Well, that's just it. I mean, before that game, for them to say Leon's coming out and he's going back in. So they had decided ahead of time, regardless of what happens, that Draisaitl was coming back in next game. And it sounds like they had told him the same thing. Now, they would have got themselves into a little bit of a jam because here's Arcabello, who banged in a couple of goals. So had Lander been able to bang one in, now they find themselves pulling a guy out of the lineup and sending him to the minors when he contributed. I mean, what if Lander scores in a win? Now you're pulling a guy out who contributed and sending him down to the minors and changing a winning lineup on a team that never wins games. So it was a little bit of a chance that they took. I think they're just trying to be careful with Draisaitl's confidence, I suppose, pulling him for too many games. I think they wanted to just let him know it's one game. You get a chance to take a look from the press box, then you're back in. But it was definitely taking a little bit of a chance, and I didn't mind Lander's game.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. I thought he played fine.
I mean, he lost Seguin there on the tying goal, which wasn't ideal, right? He was in the high slot, and he kind of lost Seguin there. But he was dashed 2 on the night. But he won a bunch of face-offs, right? He had a bunch of shots on net. And the problem with Anton is he's got to do that in 6 out of 10 games. Play really well in 6 out of 10 games and not disappear like he has a tendency to do.
Let's talk a little bit about the other team, Jamie Benn. Your thoughts on this guy?
Yeah. Well, he's just that finish he had. I mean, first of all, the feed from Spets, it was unreal, where he diced it over top of Clefbaum. But then that finish up top like that, and Benn is just, I mean, he is like he reminds me kind of a little bit of Jerome McGinley at his peak in that he can kind of do everything. He can put guys through the boards. He can fight if he has to. He can score. He's got all kinds of scoring touch. He's a leader on his team. He's got every tool you want in the toolbox. He's just so well-rounded a talent. And guys like him that are that skilled and that good and that strong and that tough, they don't come along very often. I love watching the guy play.
Oh, so physical. Like that goal you just mentioned, the fifth goal. I mean, he dumps it in. He goes and bangs Petrie off the puck. Pitlick makes a wrong read. But he drives it right to the net. I mean, everything you want to see in a power forward, that's prototypical power forward hockey right there.
Oh, man. And everything is just hard to the net. And everything is aggressive. And everything is with a little bit of meanness to it. And everything is strong. It's just he plays a heavy, strong, powerful game. And it's impressive.
Yeah, everything the orders really don't have a lot of guys who are capable of doing that. And you know what? Because you can't manufacture what you aren't. And the orders just, you know, when you every team that comes in, these big skill players, and Drysdale's the only one they have. Like Taylor Hall, you know what? Taylor Hall probably end up being to play at 205, give or take, right? Which is fine. But other than that, you just don't have a lot of guys that are ever going to be able to play that big of a or heavy of a game because they're not that heavy.
Well, no. And that's, I mean, that's why we talked about for the last 3 years, we talked about too much of the same small skill. We've been over this over and over and over again. So, yeah, you have to mix it up. You have to change the dynamic a little bit. And I think the Oilers were a little bit mesmerized with the preseason that Draisaitl had, his size, the desperate need to add that size to a top six. But it's just not... it's not translating and it's not there and the guy's struggling and I can't imagine his confidence is great right now. So he wasn't the way to inject size into the lineup. He never should have been the way to inject size into their skill positions.
Shog, I'm wondering what changes, if any, you've seen. Three games, two new coaches from Dallas Aikens.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to give their power play a different look. They're trying to maybe get guys moving a little bit more. I think as a team, I think they seem a lot more willing, like they're being told to dump the puck in. I noticed that in the first couple of games. I think with the man advantage, too, I think this drop pass stuff has kind of gone away a little bit. Certain players seem to be like, Tyler Pitlick has been decent. It's funny how different guys just seem to play better for certain coaches or not as good for another coach, but I mean, honestly, they've had better starts, which is important. But the same fundamental and fatal flaws are still there. They're not going anywhere. It's not, you can't just coach that out of a team in three games. So while there are signs that it's different, it's still the same team that blows a three-goal lead in a game that they should win on home ice, and they end up dropping a point for absolutely no reason. So there are some subtle differences, but it's still, the heartbeat is the same.
Long term, who do you think benefits most from the coaching change?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it depends if they stay with Nelson or not. Like, it depends on what they do. Now, if you mean who benefits from Dallas not being around anymore, you know, let's see what happens with Justin Schultz here. Like, let's see. I think Justin had a pretty tough go with Dallas, and for whatever reason there wasn't a fit or they didn't click. I don't know what. I'm not going to blame Dallas for Justin's play, but we'll see if maybe it picks up a little bit. Maybe the same thing. We'll see what happens with Yakupov. I mean, it's been just a disastrous season again for Yakupov here, and you're looking for signs that maybe he'll come out of it. Maybe a coaching change helps him, but man, he played almost his season low in minutes there a couple of games ago. I think he was around 9 minutes or something like that. So
yeah, and in San Jose, him and Drysdale were struggling. They took him off. And that led me to the question, Rashog, Rashog Report brought to you by the Golf Den, that Yakupov has played 145 games. His confidence is beyond low. Would you have a serious sit-down chat with him in January and say, you know what, we might just put you down in the minors for a week or two and let you get your confidence back?
Well, I mean...
like, what's the negative in that?
Well, the negative in that is that it's you're basically acknowledging and admitting what I would suggest. I don't know how you guys would characterize it, but I would say at this point in year number three, after the way last year went and the way this year has gone, this player is hurtling dangerously fast towards being a bust. And he's still young, so we'll be careful with that. But he's a number one overall pick. So when I say bust, I don't mean entirely as a player in the NHL, but as far as being a number one overall pick and the expectation that comes with that, I mean, he doesn't look like it's even going to be close. So by sending him to the minors, it's basically a pretty strong admission on the organization's part that's what they see too. And maybe developmentally, it might be a good thing for him to go down there and bang some goals in and get some points and get some confidence. I'm not sure, guys. Like KHL is looming, right? Like,
yeah, the KHL. But Ryan, the KHL, the ruble's down 50%. The KHL isn't looming that he can make more money per se. And I think if your job as an organization is try to improve the player's game, that's your number one job. The guy's game is not improving playing in the NHL. So the only other option right now is you know, 5 games, 7 games in the American League, whatever, is a short stint. Because as we all know, Strud's going to test this. Confidence can switch very quickly for some guys sometime, especially a goal scorer. And you know what? If he can't accept it, then maybe that shows that, you know, he's not willing. Because there's lots of guys who have played in the NHL. There's guys who, you know what? There's a guy in town, Rob Brown. Remember, that guy's had how many seasons of 20-plus goals, ended up back in the minors up and down after that, right? Like, you have two choices how to address it. I understand that he was a number one pick. That, to me, once you're in the NHL, where you were drafted should have no bearing. Your play should have a bearing on whether or not you play.
Yeah, for sure. And I think part of what they'll take into account is how they think the player is going to react to it. Because if they know in their gut that sending Nelly Yakupov to the minors will decimate him, and that he is absolutely not the kid who's going to be able to come back from that, then I think they probably balk and they hesitate a little bit. And I don't know, Strud, I mean, I'm sure you've seen over the years guys who send, like, what happens if they send him down and he doesn't do much there? Now what? You know, I mean, you could say, well, if that's the case, if that's the player, then it's going to be bad anyways. But are you convinced he'll go down there and light it up? Is anyone convinced of that?
Yes, I believe that the NHL players are that much better than the majority of AHL players. Mark Arcabello went from barely scoring in the NHL to scoring 2 points a game in the American League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how Nail would handle that, and it might go sour fast. The agent's gotten involved in the past. You might basically end up with a trade demand slammed down on Craig McTavish's desk, now he's trading at 20 cents on the dollar.
Well, Sharker, I think that's where, you know, I said earlier, they have to have a conversation which involves the agent. I think Mac T has to call there and off and say, listen, this is where we're at. You know, where do you think we could do? Because it's in everyone's best interest to get Yakupov playing well, including the agent.
Well, yeah, and they're heading into a negotiation here. I mean, he's got 1 point in his last 18 games. He's got 25 shots. He's minus 11. I mean, it's a train wreck. And so if they think that's what's best, if Larionov plays along, if they can get Nail in the right headspace, I don't know. I don't see that going well with this player. Now, I might be wrong, and Nail might be the guy who can handle it and go down there and turn it the right way and take it the right way, and I might be wrong here, but it could also be a straw that breaks a camel's back, and the relationship with the organization is completely fractured, and now they've got a number one overall pick at an absolute, you know, demanding a trade who has absolutely not even close to the value you would want for what he is.
Sure.
And now what are they going to do? And heading into a negotiation. And the thing about the KHL thing, you guys, like, I know that it's not ideal what's going on over there, but the marquee guys will still get paid over there.
All right,
I mean, I think it's the medium guys and the lower end guys that might have some trouble.
Is he a marquee player if he goes over there scoring 5 goals in the NHL?
Well, it's a number one overall pick. Yeah. It's still a number one overall pick. I think heading back there, I think he'd probably be pretty high caliber, highly touted player over there. And the story will be spun about how the head coach never gave him the chance he deserved, and so he's coming home.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's look at it a different way. Do the Oilers need to bring in, and I know this is another layer of coaching, but a guy that scored a lot of points in NHL, a la Adam Oates, to talk to Taylor Hall, to talk to Nail Yakupov, to talk to Eberle? Is that something they need to, like, should that be like a direction they need to take in this offseason?
Yeah, look, and I understand the point you're making. I mean, who have these players had to talk to about – I mean, who's Taylor Hall been able to go talk to when he's in an offensive slump? Mm-hmm. Alex Hemsky? Mm-hmm. No thanks. No offense to Alex, but that's not the guy, right? Who has been there to mentor these guys? And there hasn't been anybody. And then even in the coaching staff, I mean, you know, they haven't had that available to them kind of on any front. Ideally, what they would have had was a veteran 27-year-old top six forward who's been in the league for 12 years or 10 years, and that can be the guy that helps these guys through, but they haven't had it at all. So should there be somebody on staff that maybe has that kind of pedigree? Sure, but I don't know. Are there a lot of those guys that were high-end offensive players that are just willing to come on as associates, or are you talking about giving somebody a head job? Because that's the kind of guy they were.
No, assistant, but I just going from my own experience. I loved having a veteran, like Charlie Huddy. I loved having Charlie Huddy behind me. He knew the game. He'd been through it. And we related in a very similar, you know, we were both defensemen, same type. It was very nice to be able to talk to him. So I just wonder if an offensive guy, I know they're not easy because a lot of those guys made a lot of money and they don't want to maybe want those jobs. I get it. But there has to be somebody.
Yeah, but I look at there's a list of excellent offensive players who never had anybody as a coach who was an offensive player.
Yeah, but it's not working right now. You have to. I think they have to look outside the box. So yeah. I'll leave it there.
Boys, we got to run. Okay. Shar, we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, you guys. Have an awesome day.